from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
It's a Friday at 9. Here comes The Weeknd. Although many of you might have to work, of course, today. So you might be a few hours away. Maybe we're just getting there. My weekend starts in an hour, though. Josh and Zach, 12 to 3 today, right?
Yep.
So stay tuned for them a little bit after the Extra Point show. They'll lead you into Shope and the Bulldog. Bulldog, I believe, though, is still in Barcelona. Although, if you really want to be correct, I think, isn't it pronounced Barcelona? They pronounce the C differently there. I'm not going to deal with that.
It sounds so funny.
I know, you can't, though.
It doesn't sound right. I feel like it sounds right if you have a Spanish accent, but when you have an American accent trying to do it, it just sounds
also
weird.
Also, like, aren't you kind of a... What's the word? The word I want to say is not a word I should probably say. What are you... The guy that says Paris... Instead of Paris,
like that one friend that
don't
goes
you just
to Europe,
want to knee that guy in the stomach?
The guy that goes to Europe and references it every day for the next 6 months after they get back. Yeah,
yeah.
Like if you would have came back from Ireland talking in an Irish accent, like I'm sorry, I was just in Ireland.
That's the worst.
Like when you try to work it. Oh, I'm sorry, I have an accent because I was just in another country. By the way, I was in this other country. Like.
I don't mind someone talking about their trip or like even a lot like that. But when you start to embody, yeah, that for sure.
But if I'm if I'm talking about
the accent would be just psychotic.
Like, let's say we're just talking about, you know, some baseball game that was on and someone goes, oh, I haven't watched baseball in a while because I was in Europe. Like when they try to like work it into every single conversation, like it's just. That's the worst. I don't think Bulldog would do that.
No, Bulldog would do that.
I definitely know people that would.
I'm a little jealous, though. One thing we did not do in Ireland that I guess we could have, but there are better countries for this because Ireland's so small that like you just rent a car and drive around. It's so much easier. Bulldog, though, tweeted out this morning, and it would be afternoon there, zipping through the countryside on a train rolling at 220 kilometers per hour is a pretty solid way to travel. I am very jealous of this in other countries. It's one thing that I wish we had more of here, but alas, highways. The train systems.
High-speed rail. That's 136 miles an hour, by the way.
136 miles an hour. You're on a train, you're hanging out in your car, and you get, it's an hour from... I mean, I know some of those European cities are so close together. I don't know what the comparison would be here. But, you want to go from Munich to Prague... It's like an hour train ride. Yeah, it's going across a country, but like one giant city to another. Yeah, the trains are going so fast, 136 miles per hour. Some of them, I think, even go faster than that. That, like, yeah, I'm just there in an hour, and I don't have to drive. I just hang out, look at my phone, read, do whatever, maybe take a nap. Like, trains, man. Like, ah, so jealous. Although, I'm saying that without... I don't think I've ever been on, like, a long train ride like that. I don't think I've ever been... Here's the way I should put it. I don't think I've ever been on a train for the purpose of travel. I've been on train rides for the purpose of, like, entertainment. But not for the purpose of travel. So I'm definitely not talking from experience here.
For reference, my cousin... So when I recently went to Minnesota for my cousin's wedding, one of my cousins from home rode the train from Buffalo to Minnesota. And he had to get off of the train and get on another train in Chicago because it's not a direct route. And it took 17 hours.
Wow.
Granted, 17 he didn't hours. Have to drive.
Yeah, right.
But... he couldn't get a sleeper car.
Yeah.
So he's just sitting in basically an airplane seat for 17 hours.
Yeah.
So.
By the way, Bulldog.
The differences between countries is crazy.
The Bulldog also said tweeted out just recently, he jumped the gun on this. They actually are now going 300 kilometers per hour, which is 186 miles per hour. So you're getting around pretty quick there. 186 miles per hour. Bulldog's in enjoying Spain right now. Getting over in Europe. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Jeremy off until training camp. We've had a lot of stuff today. We talked about Allen running a lot. Tua's contract, got into it a little bit. I gave you my favorite trade idea for the Sabres right now that I think is pretty realistic, which would be trading Peyton Krebs and something on top of it to get Morgan Frost from the Flyers. And that's not out of thin air. There was reporting last season that the Flyers really liked Peyton Krebs, and there was a Daily Faceoff's trade bait board for the offseason. Frost is on there as, like, number 11 because healthy scratched last year. Him and Tortorella didn't see eye to eye, but he had a great finish to the year. 25 years old, one-year contract, third-line center upgrade idea through the roof for that one. So, yeah, we'll get some fantasy in, too. We've got Kevin Payne coming up at 9:30. And fantasy, we'll talk Bills. Because that's really, we're 19 days till training camp. And I don't want to just say it because it's coming up. Like, this is not recency bias. You know, in the moment, you might be more likely to say this. I think this is legitimately true. I think this is the most highly anticipated training camp / preseason since Allen was a rookie. Maybe Allen's second year. Because, yeah, maybe I would include that too. Because at that point, that is after his rookie year, which, let's be honest, was pretty polarizing. He was doing some spectacular things. He jumped over Anthony Barr, right? He ran more than we ever thought he could. That Miami game where he was awesome and he circled around on the last play of the game, was scrambling away from everybody, and he threw the ball to Charles Clay and it was almost a game-winning touchdown. There was that throw he made to Robert Foster against Jacksonville where he gets crushed at the moment the ball comes out, and it's way down the field, right on the money. Like, he had some moments. But on the overall, it was not good. More picks than touchdowns, 52% completion, 170 passing yards per game, the passer rating so bad. I mean, it was a very up-and-down rookie year. So maybe the year two training camp would still have to be this answer too, because we're still trying to find out, hey, we're watching his every breath, every movement, every pass, every everything. Like, we're hyper-analyzing Josh Allen to death because we don't know if he's good yet. And even maybe in the third year, but not as much. They had made the playoffs, and he took a step in year two. It was just more like, is this good enough? Was kind of the third one. But the second one was very much still all about Allen. We got to find out what our quarterback is. And that is going to outrank what we're about to get. But what we're about to get is roster battles. what we're about to get is more opportunity for young players to come in and win a job. 2 years ago, I was looking this up the other day. 2 years ago, there like wasn't really any jobs available. Corner one or corner two. The fill-in for Tre'Davious White while he recovered was like the job that was up for grabs. That's kind of it. Safety wasn't, linebacker wasn't, defensive line wasn't. They had just paid Von Miller. Maybe there was one on the offensive line, if I'm forgetting, but I don't think so. I think it was just corner. It was like, but even then, it was Elam and Wallace. It didn't become, we didn't go into training camp thinking that was a battle. It became one because Christian Benford thrust himself into that role. But at the start of camp, it didn't feel like a battle. It felt like your corners are going to be Kyer Elam and Levi Wallace. And you'll go from there. And last year, you had a couple. It was Osiris Torrance going for Ryan Bates' job. And then it was middle linebacker. So you had two. This year, though, one, it's at a sexier position. No offense to middle linebacker and right guard. But receiver is just going to be more interesting. Receiver is going to be easier to evaluate from a fan's perspective. You know, right guard, you kind of have to rely upon more so the people that are really integral to, all right, did you, how was your leverage on this play? You know, how quickly did you get to your gap when they pulled you on this run? Like, the guard is, okay, you can kind of see it when it's really bad if a guy just beats you clean off the line of scrimmage. But there are intricacies of that position that you kind of have to rely upon others to help. And you're also watching the right guard in every play. It's harder to figure out, just from a fan's perspective, just from watching the game. Receiver is a lot easier. Like, are you catching the ball? Are you getting targeted? Are you open? Are you making catches when it's thrown your way? Are you making tough catches? Receiver is a lot easier for that. How fast do you look? How big do you look? How high do you jump? What do you do when the ball's in your hands? Like, you could see all that. And that's why, for me, this camp and this preseason is going to be electric for that. Is it wide open, though? Like, I just said wide open. I don't know that it's that. Like, I did bet. Jeremy thinks it's set. Like, the roster is set at receiver. We have the bet. It's on the bet board here in our studio. Bills wide receivers to make the team. And Jeremy picked six. Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Mac Hollins, Chase Claypool. That's the six. If any of those six get cut, then I win the bet. And I am very much thinking it is possible that three of those guys get cut. One of the three. I don't think all three would. But Claypool, to me, is very rocky to be on this football team. I'm rooting for him to look awesome because the athletic profile there is really good. Jumps high, fast, big. He leaves a little to be desired with his hands, but the skill there is great. It's more about his motivation and is he going to be quick to understand the offense? There's game day situations where he is very much drop the ball in the past, you know, celebrating on a third down or on a second down for the Steelers when the clock is running out and they got to spike the ball and they lose 6 seconds because he's playing around celebrating a first. There was him not blocking in Chicago last year that got him benched and then basically kicked off the team. Like, there's motivational stuff with Claypool that just makes him so rocky to me to assume he'll be on the roster. And then, but he also, though, plays into Hollins' roster spot. Like, I don't think Mac Hollins is going to get cut. You know, I don't think, I would never predict that. But would I also say it's impossible? I would say it's impossible. Who's Mac Hollins? Mac Hollins is a journeyman depth receiver that plays some special teams and once in a while will play some offense too. And the Bills did have a couple of comments during OTAs about Claypool and special teams. And they might be trying to see, does he have anything to offer in that department? Does Justin Shorter have anything to offer in that department for special teams? Also, because of the changes to the kickoff rule, are they going to use receiver on special teams as much as they ever have? Because if they're not going to use a receiver, a big receiver on kickoff, if that will change, then I guess you've got the gunner position available, I'd assume, but that might be it. And if Claypool or Shorter can prove to be capable in that department, then maybe they think, especially Claypool more than Shorter, well, let's do this because he can fill in that role fine, and we think we want to explore whether he can give us more on offense than a Mac Hollins could. Mac Hollins, by the way, like his contract's not fully guaranteed. Like they have $1.1 million in dead cap if they were to get rid of him, but they would save $1.3 million. So basically $1.1 million's already been paid out. Now you got to decide what's better. Do you want Hollins on the team or do you want $1.3 million? And again, I would not bet on them saying we'd rather have the $1.3 million, but is it impossible? I don't think it's impossible. He's not like a stud receiver that like you wouldn't could never imagine getting cut. MVS too. Same thing. Him, it's a little, the contract point is a little harder to make because he has more, a higher percentage of his contract is guaranteed than Hollins. $2.25 million cap hit for MVS. And the dead cap, actually, it's 100%. $2.25 million is the dead cap. So for him, it's fully, do you want him on the team or not? And I do, again, more likely even than Hollins. He's probably going to be on the team. You know, they gave him that contract, assuming he's going to be on the roster. But the reason with MVS that I might still not put it at 100% that he's on the roster is the types of concerns that we've heard about him and what has made the Bills make a tough decision and eat guaranteed money in the past. So here's why I think MVS is not a 100% lock. He might be a 95% lock, but I wouldn't say 100. The concern we've heard about him out of reporters and media in Kansas City that watched him all last year on the field all the time, the Chiefs were starving for somebody to please break out at receiver. Somebody produce for us. And MVS was on the field a lot. 16 games played, only missed the one. He played 60% of the snaps. Hundreds and hundreds of routes. Like, he was out there all the time. And he had 21 catches for 315 yards and one touchdown. He gave them very little. And what you've heard from Kansas City people about why he gave them less than half of what he did in 2022. He went from 687 yards to 315. And the answer that I've heard the most out of Kansas City as to why that happened was he lost a step. The speed might not be the same that it once was. And for him, that's a massive problem. Because that's all he does. His whole career, all the way back to his Green Bay days, he's been a player very reliant on his straight-ahead speed. He is not the most polished route runner at all. He does not have consistent hands. He is not some elite yards-after-catch receiver. He is a burner. He's a deep threat. He is, I'm going to run past you. 17 yards per reception in his career. 17 yards per reception. He's a downfield threat. And if he's lost a step, that's a concern because he's not doing much else for you. And if they arrive, this is where the 5% is for me on, okay, maybe they would just eat the 2.25 and do something else. Keep Justin Shorter instead. Keep Claypool instead. Keep Tyrell Shavers instead. If it's becoming more and more evident that he has lost a step, it would remind me of what happened 2 years ago with O.J. Howard, who, kind of like MVS, was veteran in the league, had been a name, had been a starter, and the Bills gave him guaranteed money. And then he arrived at training camp, O.J. Howard did, he arrived at training camp, and for him, a little different, right? Like, this wouldn't be age for Howard. It was more he had had an Achilles injury. But he arrived at training camp, and they went, ooh, that's not the same O.J. Howard that we remember at Alabama or in his early days in Tampa Bay. They looked at O.J. Howard and went, ooh, that guy can't really move much anymore, can he? He definitely can't move like he used to. They brought him in, realized as camp went on, didn't have the athleticism that they thought he still did, and they moved on. They said, I know we got to eat this, but we're not going to keep him on the roster just because we gave him $2 million. You know? It was only $2 million. At that point, again, the money is spent. Now it's all about, once the money is spent, the money is spent. That's it. After that, it's about who gives you a better chance to win. Who's the better player? And at that time, they decided somebody else, Quentin Morris, gave them a... They already spent $2.5 million, so now it's who's better, Morris or Howard? Oh, Morris is better? Well, we're doing that. And that's what they did. And I'm just leaving a 5% chance, I'm leaving a little wiggle room for the same thing to happen this camp. That we'll see what he looks like. If MVS doesn't look as spry, doesn't look as fast, isn't beating corners cleanly down the field like he has throughout his career, and Tyrell Shavers is balling at camp, or Claypool is the guy running past people, or Justin Shorter looks more well-polished and he's running past people. If someone else is looking awesome and MVS looks like he's shot, then I believe the Bills are a team that would say, we don't care about the $2.25 million. We're not keeping a worse player. It's not $10 million. It's not $15 million that we're eating. It's two. We're not going to keep a worse player for $2 million. When the guy you'd be replacing with, by the way, is going to cost you, you know, what, $1 million? $800,000? How much would Justin Shorter make on this team? Would it be 800,000? I don't even know what the number would be. So I just wouldn't put him at 100. So for me, I got a receiver battle, I think, this that could shape up this training camp. Sure, MVS, heavy favorite to be on the team. Hollins, heavy favorite to be on the team. Claypool, we'll see. But to me, it's at least possible any of those three don't make the roster. So I made the bet with Jeremy. So I'll be glued to that. And Claypool especially. Because really, if they're going to keep six, the sixth guy is going to be very interesting. Because there's also no Diggs anymore. There's also no Gabe Davis. The sixth guy in the past, like, it was kind of a who cares, you know? Jake Kumerow, whatever. Like, whoever it is the guy's probably not going to play unless there's an emergency. The guy's probably just going to play on special teams. Now, because there's no more Diggs, because there's no more Davis, who that sixth guy is, I think will matter more. Because there's more room for upward growth. There's more room for upward mobility in the receiver room than there has been really since Allen's been the quarterback. Or since Allen's rookie year. So if Claypool won that sixth job, it would be, last year it would have been, okay, I'm never going to see him, so who cares? This year it would be, all right, let's see if he can start to fight into that rotation a little bit. If Shavers were to win that job, if Shorter were to win that job, it would be, all right, let's see if he can fight his way into the rotation, not just be depth. 803-0550 is the phone number. I'm pumped up for training camp. 19 days away. We'll have Kevin Payne, RotoWire, on the way next. We'll talk some fantasy It's a Fantasy Friday here in July as we start rolling towards fantasy draft season. We'll talk about the Bills for fantasy especially. Where are these guys going? Where are these guys going? And how high should you be willing to take Dalton Kincaid, who is the highest of these weapons in these drafts? Time out here. Kevin Payne, when we come back. Sneaky Joe DiBiase. It's Jeremy and Joe. This is WGR.
It's Curtis Samuel. A beautiful move by Samuel. Working the sideline, and Samuel won't go down.
Curtis Samuel, one of the new additions to the Bills receiver room. Really, everybody except for Khalil Shakir is a new addition. Unless you're counting Justin Shorter and Tyrell Shaver, some of the guys that didn't play last year. 803-0550 is the phone number.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a Friday. It's beautiful out. We're heading into the weekend. Hopefully you found a way to be off Friday the day after the 4th, but I know not everybody was that lucky. Weekend coming up, though, so we'll have some good weather. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you got a fantasy question you want to get in, Kevin Payne from RotoWire, now on the Wester Hotline. Morning, Kevin. How was your 4th?
Good. I was one of those guys who had today off until I got a text late from you last night saying, hey, do you want to come on the radio this morning?
Well, I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, luckily it'll be a very short-lived work day for me, though.
Yes, yeah, we will definitely not keep you long. It's a Fantasy Friday, too, though. Like, we're rolling towards fantasy drafts. Is this too early for you to schedule a draft? Not, like, today, but if someone was having a draft this weekend, would you say, first weekend of July, it's a little soon for me?
So there's two trains of thought here, and I would be fine if somebody wanted to go ahead and draft today. I actually usually do get into a draft early in the season just to kind of have just because I might go ahead and say, why did this guy take this person so high? Why, if we're doing an auction, why did they bid the extra few dollars on this guy, and go back and kind of do some research before we kind of get into the draft season, which is really going to start heating up, obviously, next month. So I don't mind doing them that early. This also, if you do them this early, it kind of rewards the person who's been doing their homework and paying attention and crunching some numbers during the off season. So I see the argument for having an early draft there as well. But again, I think it's a good way to take advantage of something you might have missed in your analysis of some of these players this off season. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely do a draft this weekend. But I think that for the most part, people want to go ahead and hold them in August, mid to late August, just because then you go ahead and you know who's hurt. There's the inevitable injury. A guy's going to be out for the season. So if you took him now and you wasted, top 3-round pick on him, then you're going to be like, oh, great, now I don't have this guy. And it looked like a good pick last month, but now. So I think that most people prefer going ahead and doing those August drafts.
I agree with that. You also get, the injuries are probably the biggest reason. You also get, though, like all the information we get during training camp. Sometimes I don't know, though, whether that helps or hurts me, because so much of the training camp information you see out there, everybody's in the best shape of their life. Everybody can play every single position. Everybody's going to have the best year of their career. But there are clues I feel like you could parse through to figure out, like, okay, this might be real. But this was was it Pacheco a couple years ago where he started coming on in camp, and that's when his name really, started to emerge for the first time. And I remember throwing a flyer on him late just based off training camp blurbs, and that worked. It's tough, though, right, Kevin? Because, a lot of that, too, I feel like is BS.
It is. And one of the phrases we like to use at RotoWire is it's tough to read the tea leaves and try to figure things out. I also think that it goes almost on a team-by-team basis, and you do have some history where a coach might say something, and you might believe a given coach based upon their, what they've said in the past, and it's turned out to come to fruition and been accurate, as opposed to some guys who, are blowing up their players, and then all of a sudden the regular season comes and it's a completely different story. So I think you could take a look at those two narratives as well. But personally, the advantage of having the August drafts is you're watching the preseason games, which I think become more and more meaningless as the years have gone on. Mm-hmm. But you're also finding out all this information, all these tidbits, especially with these days with social media, which you didn't have even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You're finding out all from these beat writers who are right there on the field. Hey, this is what I saw today. And at least you're getting an opinion, you're getting information, and then you can go ahead and try to siphon through as to what you think is actually something that you could go ahead and put stock in, or something that you just go ahead and let it pass.
Yep. Kevin Payne at KCPayne26 on Twitter, RotoWire. So what about the Bills for that? Like, what do you expect training camp to sound like and feel like for them? Specifically, receiver, right, is going to be a whole training camp of figuring out who's the right one to draft. I know it's early, but I was looking at some average draft position stuff today, Kevin, and right now Coleman is going in the 9th round, Samuel the 10th, Shakir the 11th. So, like, they're all pretty close. Let's start there. Before camp even happens, is there one of those three that you would find yourself more likely to take before camp has got going?
Yeah, for me, it's going to be Keon Coleman, just because I think he's got the greatest upside. We see with these rookie receivers, it's been years now that they come in more ready to play the professional game that they have 10, 20 years ago. These guys are ready because they run the same style of offenses in college. And I really think that Keon Coleman just has such a great ceiling that he would be the guy that I would take a chance on. Now, that being said, as far as looking at a lot of different writers that I respect in the industry and everybody else, they are really high on Shakir. Everybody's kind of listing him as their sleeper. And obviously, as you said, when you're looking at those late rounds, any three of those guys can be a great value. So Shakir has kind of been the guy, the buzzy guy, as far as the fantasy community goes. I think just based upon the fact that he knows the offense, he had production at the professional level last year. For me, it's Coleman. And I look at Curtis Samuel. One thing I do hope this year, just looking at some of his past stats, is that they go ahead and use him a little bit more in the running game. For some reason, Washington got away with away from that last year, and he saw his carries take a huge dip. I think it was from 38 the prior season to only 7 last year. So I think there's a huge opportunity. I just don't know that we're going to see consistency out of Samuel. I think that once the bye weeks hit, then maybe he might go ahead and have some value, because you might need to go ahead and plug a guy like him in and try to look for that home run, which I think, you know, on any given Sunday, he could get you 3 catches or 4 touches for 80 to 100 yards and a score, getting a long one. But I think that for me, it's going to be Coleman over Shakir. But again, Shakir seems to be the buzzy guy in the fantasy community.
Yeah. The reason I like Shakir too, especially for, it depends what you want. He playing out of the slot primarily, like I don't think of him as having the same upside like you mentioned with Coleman, just because of touchdowns, right? Like I really think a lot, Kevin, about this Bills offense, that whoever really succeeds in taking a shot at the Bills offense, it might just come down to figuring out where the touchdowns are going to go, because Allen had 15 last year rushing, and that just feels unsustainably high. But if that does come down, and maybe his passing touchdowns go up, like, where will those go? Because even in the run game, James Cook's not a big touchdown guy, or hasn't been. Kincaid wasn't in year one, but maybe he will be. Coleman, you might think, his profile speaks to that. Even Ray Davis. Like, I feel like the touchdowns is going to be really hard to predict for the Bills this summer.
Yeah, and you know, Dawson Knox is always going to sneak in.
Dawson Knox, right.
Yeah, even though he's not going to get a ton of targets, he's not going to get the targets Kincaid is. But I'm glad you brought up Kincaid, because he was kind of the guy. I mean, he could be the guy that leads this team in receiving yards, which is kind of crazy considering that he's a tight end. But he has that type of upside, and I think that he's going to take a step forward and have a few of those touchdowns. But I still think I can see Allen rushing for 10 to 12 touchdowns, something around 10 double digits easily. So I don't know how much that number comes down, but I think just looking at the size and being a big red zone target, again, going back to Keon Coleman, that's kind of why I like him a little bit more than Shakir. And not that Shakir, I would like, when you watch Shakir play, I think just because sometimes he doesn't have the weight, he looks smaller than he is, but he's still 6 foot, 190 something. Mm-hmm. So he does have some size to him, but I think that it's Coleman and Kincaid that we can expect to get most of the red zone looks. And Kincaid, as far as tight ends go, he might be the guy who has the best value, taking him kind of in the middle rounds once those elite tight ends are coming off the board. Definitely, based upon where they're going in drafts, I think Kelsey's going like in the second round. I would rather have Kincaid going much later. I would take him in a heartbeat based upon his upside over an aging Travis Kelce in the second round. I think it's going to be a better value.
All right. Yeah, he's going Kincaid right now. Middle of the fourth round is his, at least at Fantasy Pros, that's his draft position, which is tight end 5. Is that appropriate for him? Is that high? Is that low? Like, where do you think that should that go up, I guess, as the season goes on, or as the offseason goes on?
Yeah, and I think on our site we've got him even lower than that. I think we've got his ADP going 5th or 6th round. So I think he's a great value there, and we actually have him ranked as a 7th tight end, which I think is way too low. I think that the upside is there for him to get 6 to 8 touchdowns, 800 plus receiving yards, and for a tight end, if you can get that type of production out of them, that's absolutely fantastic. And I think that this is the reason why the Bills didn't go out and try to get a big name in free agency, is because they knew they had two adequate, very good tight ends, I should say, possibly the best tandem in the league between him and Knox. And the fact of the matter is, Kincaid, I expect an uptick in touchdowns from him. So I really think that he's going to be a great value. I think he's got easily the upside to finish top 3, I want to say. Kelsey's still going to be there. You got to look at Kyle Pitts now has Kirk Cousins throwing to him. So finally, maybe his upside that we've been talking about for years comes around. But I got to think that Kincaid's got to be in the conversation as a guy who could possibly finish in the top 3-4 amongst tight ends.
Kevin Payne, RotoWire on the Western Hotline. The last Bill I wanted to ask you about, at running back, James Cook, they bring in Ray Davis, so middle of the draft rookie. They ran it more with him at the end of the year. He finishes RB11 last year, and that's, I think, around where he's being picked. That was in PPR. He finished 11th. Is he someone you would be targeting? I don't know what to do with him, just because I feel like touchdowns are... could he have 4 again? Could he have 8? Like, I guess... I feel like he's going to be at least getting a workload. It's just, I guess, how high is the ceiling?
Yeah, I think he's definitely a guy that I would target. The problem is this. If you're doing a draft here in Buffalo, you're going to pay the Buffalo tax on him. He's going to go much higher than, you know, sometimes when I do these drafts, I do them with the people who are across the country. And as I said, the one nice thing about doing something like that is somebody that's in California might have a better grip as to what's going on with the Chargers, which may make me go back and reassess if they take somebody really high. Might be the same thing if I go ahead and take James Cook really high, which I probably would do in more of a national draft, just because I think it's like inevitable that he gets all those carries. There's no way he only gets two rushing touchdowns this year. We know he's going to go ahead and be productive through the air as well. Everybody these days plays in some sort of PPR league, even if it's only 0.5 PPR league, which adds a little bit more value to him. But I got to think that you're looking at least double-digit touchdowns from James Cook this year. So outside of the, you know, the Western New York area, where, as I said, you're going to kind of pay that Bills tax where all these players are going to go a little bit higher in redraft leagues. If I was doing a national draft, James Cook was definitely somebody that I would go ahead and look to target, especially if you go ahead and go wide receiver early. I mean, I have no problem in a draft going wide receiver, just based upon how valuable they are, especially in PPR leagues. And then Cook would be the type of guy that I would take a look at in those like early middle rounds.
Yeah, it is right pointing out, like, so he had four receiving touchdowns last year. So his total was six. And there were at least three touchdowns that he just dropped. Like, they were right there. The Cowboy game, there was one. There was one against the Eagles. And there's definitely another one that I'm missing, too. So he could have had nine pretty easily, I think, last year total. Last thing for you, Kevin, on fantasy. Is there, putting you on the spot a little bit, between now and the start of the season, for how many drafts you do, is there a guy in your mind that comes to mind, like, that you're going to end up with the most? Like, what player in the league would you guess I'm going to have the most of?
Marvin Harrison Jr. And I know we just did our hometown draft, and I took him with the first overall pick. But just looking at everything that he has, and it's going to cost, I'm hoping that he's, like, sitting there in the late second round. But you're talking about a guy, number one, who's super talented. I think we've only seen the tip of the iceberg with him. I think that people are going to be very hesitant to take a rookie as early as the second round, even if it's late second round. But if you look at that receiving core, I mean, they really do not have a lot there in Arizona. It would not surprise me at all. And you look at like a guy like Malik Nabers. I think he's super talented, could be just as good as Marvin Harrison. But the landing spot with the Giants, I don't think was quite as good, just considering you've got Darius Slayton, you've got Wandale Robinson. Whereas you look at the guys that the Cardinals, you know, he's got to compete with the Cardinals. Michael Wilson. Zay Jones is pretty good, don't get me wrong. Greg Dortch, he might have a little upside, but these guys seem to have gotten chances in the past and not been able to do much. It would not surprise me at least 25% of the targets go Marvin Harrison's way. And I'm thinking maybe even as much as 30 to 33%, which is a huge, huge number. So I think that I'm going to end up with a lot of Marvin Harrison. We always see these rookies break out each year. And, I mean, this guy is just as elite as they come. Great landing spot for him, plus the talent. So I think I'm going to end up with a lot of him. The other guy I would take a look at, too, that I really like, Zamir White for the Las Vegas Raiders. I really think that with the starting role, he's a guy you can get in the seventh or eighth round. Again, type of guy if you're looking for a flex spot or if you wait on running back. I mean, Alexander Mattison, we know what he is. He hasn't averaged more than 4 yards a carry in any of his last three seasons. He's not a starter. Josh Jacobs is now a Green Bay Packer. I just don't see why this guy's going to get a ton of work, and I really think he could be a great value, as he said, if he's still sitting there in the seventh or eighth round.
All right. It's 9:47 on Friday, Kevin, and Greg Berhalter is still the United States men's national team manager. How in the world? How in the world?
Well, and I'm watching the Ecuador game. They somehow push Argentina, World Cup champions, to a shootout. The poor coach is already fired. Like, they didn't even wait. And
right.
He got
Ecuador.
His team, yeah, and just got his team there, and they just hired him, too. So fired this poor guy, and Berhalter still has a job. I don't know how. I almost wonder if they're making sure they've got somebody in place first before they go ahead and fire him. That could be the only explanation. I've also seen that money might be playing a factor because they might have to go ahead and pay him a ton of money. He could sue them. So at this point, I don't know. I just hope within the next few weeks they get this resolved.
Man, I hope you're right. It just hasn't. The only reason it hasn't happened yet is because they're courting someone and they're trying to get it done before. So we'll see. Appreciate it, Kevin. We'll talk soon. At KCPayne26, check out his stuff on RotoWire, especially fantasy football season starts rolling here. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
All right, time out here. Extendo Sports on the way back. Wimbledon going on right now, and there's a really good match, actually. Carlos Alcaraz, who is, I think, the best watch in tennis right now, at least on the men's side, is the best watch in tennis. He is getting pushed here. It's the third round. Josh, do you know how to pronounce the guy's name he's playing? American? Is it Tiafoe?
Tiafoe.
Okay. He ranked 29th. He won the first set, and he's down 2-1 in games, but has advantage right now on the point. So Alcaraz, who won, did he win Wimbledon last year? I think he won Wimbledon last year, or was it the U.S. Open? Either way, won a major last year, young guy. I think he's the best watch in tennis, and he's getting pushed right now. That's on ESPN. Extendo Sports, when we come back, then we'll get you off to the Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hey, congratulations to Timothy O. from Williamsville for winning our Friday foursome at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course. Beautiful course. Also, a $25 Encore golf gift card, plus a box of Encore golf balls and a membership to Club Encore. Still more chances for you to win the Friday foursome. Head over to WGR550.com to enter. Brought to you by Labatt and Encore Golf. What we got going on this weekend? Well, we got Sal Capaccio in right now, getting ready for the Extra Point Show. Morning, Sal.
Yes, sir. How are you, buddy? I hope you had a good fourth.
I had a great view. What'd you do for the fourth? Fireworks?
We didn't go anywhere. We went to my mom's house, but we were back in time before fireworks started. But it was really cool. We had been out of town the last couple of years for the 4th of July. Last year, we were at a Yankees game, actually, on the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, man, we haven't been around. Like, what do we do? Where do we go? I live in the city, as you know. At the end of our street, essentially, there's a really good fireworks display that people shoot off. And it's... I didn't realize. My neighborhood rocks, man. It is awesome. And it was just a whole lot of people on a street with chairs in the middle of the street, and there was food, and it was like a block party, basically, at the end of the street. It was a fantastic fireworks display. It was awesome.
Yeah. The neighborhood I grew up in was very much the same. Like, it was literally like a block party, and they would have fireworks and everything, and that was awesome. I always enjoyed that. Yeah.
It was great. So.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, we did that last night. So, and then... Gonna go see Savannah Bananas tonight.
Oh, nice. I am going on... This is where I should know my calendar by heart, and if my wife's listening, she's like, you don't know anything we're doing. Sunday I'm going to see Savannah Bananas. You're going tonight?
Going tonight with a whole bunch of kids from the travel baseball team and league and all that. It's gonna be really cool.
How much do you know, like, what to expect? Like, I've seen clips of them, and I think I know it, like... It's Harlem Globetrotters baseball, kind of, right? Like, am I wrong for thinking it's exactly that?
It's like that. That's exactly how I describe it to people. I tell people it's like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. Years ago, Max started telling me about it, and I thought it was like, okay, whatever this thing is. Kids watch these YouTube videos. I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
But he kept telling me about it and showing me, and he's like, we got to go to a game sometime. I'm like, yeah, I don't know where these guys play. And then I realized,
Savannah, now they're
touring. Yeah, right. Exactly. So then... And that's what happened. So, yeah, it looks pretty cool. Like, there's some really cool, interesting rules, I guess. Like, did you know, Joe, that if there's a foul ball that's hit into the stands and the fan catches it, the player is out?
No.
Yes.
Oh, wait. No, yes, I did. Because I had seen a clip of this, maybe on SportsCenter at one point. Like, a fan made a great catch to, like, win a game. And that's awesome.
When he did that, they had never had that happen before, where the fan caught the ball to win the game.
At the end, right. Yeah, yeah.
That was why it was so, like... Oh my God, this actually happened.
Yeah. No, that's super cool. That's an awesome rule. I forgot about that.
I'm sure there's a lot more than I don't. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm sure there's a lot more that I'm not even aware of, but it should be really fun tonight, and it should be great weather. I think it might be some rain a little bit later, but I think that's going to be later.
I'm so glad you mentioned. This is how much I don't even know my own calendar, like, for the weekend. Like, I forgot that I was going to this, and now I'm super excited for Sunday. So cool.
When are they playing Sunday? Is that Sunday afternoon or not?
I've got it Sunday at 1. Sunday at 1 o'clock.
It's an afternoon game.
So afternoon game.
That's cool. And then you and I are together next week, pal.
Yes, me and you. So we'll be within.
Back together again.
We'll be within. I mean, it's 19 days from now until training camp. So we'll be rolling on football. There's not a lot left for the Sabres to do, really.
Right.
I mean, there is. There's trades still out there. It's just, I mean, there's 3 months here where it could happen. You never know. Like, it could happen in 2 months. It could happen in a week. So it's kind of just waiting on that. But, yeah, we'll get to some football next week for sure. It'll be me and Sal in the morning. Zach and Josh will have the Extra Point Show. So we'll have fun. We'll have fun next week. All right, Extra Point Show is on the way next. Me and Sal will talk to you together on Monday at 6, so I'll talk to you then. 12 to 3 today, Zach and Josh have you here on the station leading you into Chopin the Bulldogs. So throughout the day, stay tuned. I'll talk to you after the weekend. Hope you had a great 4th. Have a great 5th, and I'll talk to you on Monday here on WGR.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
He's getting pushed right now. That's on ESPN. Extendo Sports, when we come back, then we'll get you off to the Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hey, congratulations to Timothy O. from Williamsville for winning our Friday foursome at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course. Beautiful course. Also, a $25 Encore golf gift card, plus a box of Encore golf balls and a membership to Club Encore. Still more chances for you to win the Friday foursome. Head over to WGR550.com to enter. Brought to you by Labatt and Encore Golf. What we got going on this weekend? Well, we got Sal Capaccio in right now, getting ready for the Extra Point Show. Morning, Sal.
Yes, sir. How are you, buddy? I hope you had a good 4th.
I had a great view. What'd you do for the 4th? Fireworks?
We didn't go anywhere. We went to my mom's house, but we were back in time before fireworks started. But it was really cool. We had been out of town the last couple of years for the 4th of July. Last year, we were at a Yankees game, actually, on the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, man, we haven't been around. Like, what do we do? Where do we go? I live in the city, as you know. At the end of our street, essentially, there's a really good fireworks display that people shoot off. And it's... I didn't realize. My neighborhood rocks, man. It is awesome. And it was just a whole lot of people on a street with chairs in the middle of the street, and there was food, and it was like a block party, basically, at the end of the street. It was a fantastic fireworks display. It was awesome.
Yeah. The neighborhood I grew up in was very much the same. Like, it was, it, I think it actually, like, was literally like a block party, and they would have fireworks and everything, and that was awesome. I always enjoyed that. Yeah.
It was great. So.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, we did that last night. So, and then, gonna go see Savannah Bananas tonight.
Oh, nice. I am going on, this is where I should know my calendar by heart, and my wife's listening, she's like, you don't know anything we're doing. Sunday I'm going to see Savannah Bananas. You're going tonight?
Going tonight with a whole bunch of kids from the travel baseball team and league and all that. It's gonna be really cool.
How much do you know, like, what to expect? Like, I've seen clips of them, and I think I know it, like... It's Harlem Globetrotters baseball, kind of, right? Like, am I wrong for thinking it's exactly that?
It's like that. That's exactly how I describe it to people. I tell people it's like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. Years ago, Max started telling me about it, and I thought it was like, okay, whatever this thing is. Kids watch these YouTube videos. I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
But he kept telling me about it and showing me, and he's like, we got to go to a game sometime. I'm like, yeah, I don't know where these guys play. And then I realized,
Savannah, now they're
touring. Yeah, right. Exactly. So then... And that's what happened. So, yeah, it looks pretty cool. Like, there's some really cool, interesting rules, I guess. Like, did you know, Joe, that if there's a foul ball that's hit into the stands and the fan catches it, the player is out?
No. Yes, I did. Because I had seen a clip of this, maybe on SportsCenter at one point. Like, a fan made a great catch to, like, win a game. And that's awesome.
When he did that, they had never had that happen before, where the fan caught the ball to win the game.
At the end, right, yeah, yeah.
That was why it was so, like... Oh my God, this actually happened.
Yeah. No, that's super cool. That's an awesome rule. I forgot about that.
I'm sure there's a lot more than I don't. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm sure there's a lot more that I'm not even aware of, but it should be really fun tonight, and it should be great weather. I think it might be some rain a little bit later, but I think that's going to be later.
I'm so glad you mentioned. This is how much I don't even know my own calendar, like, for the weekend. Like, I forgot that I was going to this, and now I'm super excited for Sunday. So cool. Enjoy.
When are they playing Sunday? Is that Sunday afternoon or not?
I've got it Sunday at 1. Sunday at 1 o'clock.
It's an afternoon game.
So afternoon game.
That's cool. And then you and I are together next week, pal.
Yes, me and you. So we'll be within.
Back together again.
We'll be within. I mean, it's 19 days from now until training camp. So we'll be rolling on football. There's not a lot left for the Sabres to do, really.
Right.
I mean, there is. There's trades still out there. It's just, I mean, there's 3 months here where it could happen. You never know. Like, it could happen in 2 months. It could happen in a week. So it's kind of just waiting on that. But, yeah, we'll get to some football next week for sure. It'll be me and Sal in the morning. Zach and Josh will have the Extra Point Show, so we'll have fun. We'll have fun next week. All right, Extra Point Show is on the way next. Me and Sal talk to you together on Monday at 6, so I'll talk to you then. 12-3 today, Zach and Josh have you here on the station leading you into Chopin the Bulldogs. So throughout the day, stay tuned. I'll talk to you after the weekend. Hope you had a great 4th, have a great 5th, and I'll talk to you on Monday here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.